Thank you for downloading Producer's Pick from Sounds True, a podcast dedicated to bringing you moving, captivating, and intriguing selections from our programs. In this podcast, the producers at Sounds True have chosen a selection from a program they've worked on, which caught their attention as a unique or special moment in the recording process. This week's episode, The Relation of the Individual to the World, comes from the audio program Just So, an odyssey into the cosmic web of connection, play, and true pleasure, from author and philosopher Alan Watts. Producer Steve Lazard edited the archival content for this program. Here's what he had to say about this week's producer's pick.
While editing the archival content for this program, I was struck by the impact Alan Watts clearly had on our cultural thinking. And I was deeply touched by the relevance and importance his teachings have had on our modern culture. It's obvious that the social mindset we currently find ourselves in was shaped by Alan, and I marvel at the depth and uniqueness of his teachings, even through the lens of these past several decades. Choosing one selection from this program to share with you was difficult, as I found time and time again completely enthralled by what Alan was teaching. In this selection I did choose for you, Alan encourages us to see that the historical relationship of the individual to the world is flawed. And by learning to understand the correct view of this relationship, we can act more intelligently and make better choices. I had a lot of fun reviewing this archival material and editing the program, and I hope you enjoy this week's selection.
You can download the entire program, Just So, an odyssey into the cosmic web of connection, play, and true pleasure at soundstrue.com. And now, our producer's pick, The Relation of the Individual to the World with Alan Watts.
I want to start with a consideration of our ancient ideas about the relation of the individual to the world in terms of fate and free will, or determinism and free will. Because if we actually were aware of all the information that is coming to us through our senses, we would have a very curious sensation which would bug us because we wouldn't be able to find words for it. It would be like this. You would first of all realize that if you didn't be so selective, in other words, if you didn't pay attention to this detail and that detail, but were just simply aware of it all in general, you would get the funny feeling, in the first place, that you were just a puppet. That you were automatically responding to all kinds of physical and social influences around you, and that you couldn't help yourself. You might object to that, or you might alternatively enjoy it. You might get a sensation that you were just floating. You didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to think about any problems. You didn't have to worry about what you ought to do. You would just feel yourself responding. And that would be a very pleasant feeling if you liked it. But on the other hand, depending on your personal constitution, you might feel terribly threatened by it. And you would interpret this sensation as a feeling of unreality. Have you ever suddenly felt that you were dreaming everyday life? That it wasn't quite real? And it spooked you? So you said, gee, it ought to be happening, see? And I feel I'm going around in a dream. Because occasionally, our mind slips. It's like the tuning dial of a radio. It occasionally wanders off and you get another station. And so in the same way, our minds occasionally slip into another way of seeing things. And people get accidental illuminations and psychoses and all sorts of funny things. But you would get this as a preliminary sensation, and you would interpret it as feeling that you are a puppet on the end of strings being manipulated by events, only because of your previous background, wherein we have all of us been conditioned to believe that part of our life is not under our control, and part of it is. There is this distinction between the voluntary and the involuntary. The voluntary, what we do, the involuntary, what we have to accept passively. The borderline between them is not at all clear. Breathing, for example, is something we have to go on doing, and yet you can acquire the sensation that you are doing the breathing and controlling it according to your will. It's a very vague distinction here. But if you took in all the information, see, you can feel yourself making a decision out of the blue. You say, I'm going to do that, like that, you see, and you don't have any awareness of anything that leads up to it. It just happens, you see. And because that awareness is screened out, you interpret this act of making a decision as a different kind of act from breathing or from growing hair. Well, actually, it isn't different. But we think it's different because of unawareness. When you make a decision, it happens, as the Chinese say, Ziran, Shizen, of itself, naturally, spontaneously. But we feel that there are things that happen of themselves in contrast to certain things that I do. And that is because of incomplete awareness. But then, if that awareness were to change and you were to realize that everything is happening of itself, including your decisions, because of your background, you would then veer over to the opposite point of view. Everything is happening involuntarily. And I am left out. I'm a puppet. I simply have to obey. You see? But this would be incorrect. The point is rather this. We don't have a system of nature which is either deterministic or voluntaristic. The relationship of the individual to the environment is not one of the individual as some little thing in the environment which is moved by the environment and responds to the environment passively. Nor, oppositely, do we have a situation in which the individual is a center of activity that all of its own, to some extent, alters and changes the environment. Both of these opinions are based on lack of awareness or ignorance. What we have is rather something like this. That the behavior of the individual and the behavior of the environment are the same process. And you can look at the process from two points of view. You can look at it from the point of view of it's all happening to me, or you can look at it from the point of view I'm doing it. These are just two poles of two ways of looking at the same thing. If, for example, you realize that your neurological organization is creating the external world, in other words, there is no such thing as light, weight, heat, color, shape, except in terms of the human nervous system or some other animal nervous system, then from that point of view, you can see your nervous system as evoking the whole universe. But you can take an opposite point of view, which is equally true, which is that the human nervous system is something in the external world and is entirely dependent on sun and air and light and temperature and so on and so forth. Both points of view are true. But we have not yet, especially in the West, become aware of a logic which can integrate them. And so when we first come to experience this thing as being so, we attempt to interpret it in terms of our old logics and our old ways of thinking, so that one person may say, on feeling this, I feel as if I'm just floating around, passively responding to the operations of nature. And another person going to the opposite extreme will interpret this experience as saying, I suddenly realize I'm God, that I actually govern and control everything that happens. These are two ways of looking at exactly the same thing. The point being, then, that there is just one process which is equally the behavior of the organism and the behavior of the environment. That you can look at this process from many points of view, define it in many ways, but you can't really split it up. And so the consequence of this, although I'm not going into this at the moment in any full way, is to learn to act and behave in terms of this vision of the world. Not as you're acting upon the world, not as it acting upon you, but as the unfoldment of a process which, as you understand it, you become more intelligent and act more intelligently. Intelligence is a function of the degree to which you realize that your behavior is one with the behavior of the rest of the world. The more you realize that, the more, one would say, you appear to be better in control, although you're not actually controlling.